It's not like it's a competition that's on again next year. You have to wait a full Olympic cycle to go again. Realistically, most of the team aren't going to be here again for the next Olympics, so it's like it's do or die.
For the best Olympics coverage, subscribe to the OTB Highlights podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.
OTB AM. With Gillette, put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.
Delighted to be joined now by Bobby Skinstad. Bobby, good morning to you.
Good morning, good morning. How are you guys?
All good. There's been a lot of talk here in Ireland of how dull an encounter it was on Saturday and how poor a spectacle it's been so far. You must be absolutely loving this Lions tour.
Well, I mean, I think some of the provincial games were fantastic, you know, because you could, it's more free, you know, there's less pressure. However, the pressure in the test matches has related or sort of imposed that sort of that stress and that pressure of trying to not make mistakes as opposed to playing a free and open game. You're right.
Why have the Lions then been the ones who succumbed when the pressure was at its most intense in the second half last Saturday?
Well, I don't know. You know, South Africa did the same thing in the first week. So everybody's going, oh, you know, the Lions, now it's all over for them. I think South Africa had a game plan which they stuck to. In the first test, the Lions were able to overcome it. They were very good, you know, with their interchange, with their strategic sort of introduction of players onto the field. Their bench introduction was classy and worked very well. South Africa's didn't. And in the second test, the opposite was true. You know, South Africa's opportunity to introduce some players off the bench to maybe tweak where the players were playing. I mean, Peter Steph Tutoi went off, but Mostert, I thought, was brilliant at lock and then moving to flank. He's just got a serious engine. And that allowed that sort of bench to work. So I think I don't think the Lions can turn around and say, well, it's all failure for us because there was some really good things in the first half. But they've made some changes. You know, the big question is, do they change the style of game that they play?
If you were a Lions supporter, would you be a little bit concerned about the lack of a plan B that they showed on Saturday?
Well, it's funny. I mean, it's a good question. But I, you know, when you pundits are sort of picking the starting lineup that you think the coaches are going to go with, I know they've gone with seven, I think it is, Welsh players into this team. I had Josh Adams and Liam Williams in my starting lineup originally. I had Bundiaki in there. I had Sam Simmons on the bench. I started with Faletau at that stage. But, you know, these are players who I think deserve their spot. They deserve a crack. So there's certainly nothing wrong with the quality of personnel. It's just whether they're going to change the game plan or change how they play. And if they do that, they better get it 100% right, because South Africa are you know, they're organized defensively and they're ready for the game to try and open up, and then they will put as much pressure as possible on a team that are going to try and spread the ball if that's the case.
Can you explain why you would have had Adams, Williams and Aki in your starting team even before watching a test match?
Well, I just think Aki brings, you know, he's got a good physical game, but he's also got a good distribution. Him and Henshaw together have got more tests under the belt. And then Adams and Williams, I think, would have been more effective in that aerial battle. And I knew South Africa were going to kick some up and unders from the base and from Pollard. And I felt that, you know, there's a lot of pressure on players coming in who haven't necessarily won the aerial battle in their own domestic competitions. But Williams is a very, very good sort of catching and running and even counter-attacking fullback. So and then Josh Adams was on form. So I thought that was good. I thought Bundiaki showed some really good form in the game that he played too.
How difficult a task is it for Warren Gatland and his coaching staff if they are to go with a different game plan? Because I presume from a South Africa point of view, even with the injuries, it's a straightforward week for Razzy Erasmus. Do it again, lads. It's won us a World Cup. It's got us level in this Lions series. We know our game plan inside out. For a Lions team to have to almost rip it up and start again with probably a couple of training sessions, players through two tough tests, it feels like it would have been one of Warren Gatland's greatest coaching achievements if somehow they can come out with a different game plan and be effective on Saturday.
Yeah, I think that would be too difficult almost. I don't think we'll see wholesale changes into the way they play, but they will have to be more effective. I think we'll see a lot more of what we saw in the second half of the first test, you know. The effective carry is more important than than allowing players to be out sort of isolated on their own, where South Africa can steal the ball again. So we'll see pockets and pods of players, and I would imagine you'll see the big strong guys like Adams and Aki being introduced into crashing the ball up off the set pieces, back of the line-out type thing. We saw some of that in the second half of the first test. So tweaks, I think, more than wholesale changes. If they're real wholesale changes, then absolutely, they'll have to get it really right.
Warren Gatland is not happy with the Springbok time-wasting, Bobby. I'm not sure if you've seen his quotes, but in the paper this morning, he's saying, we had stud changes, we had TMO decisions, we had referees stopping the game for cramp. So that will be one of the things I talked to about the referees this week. It felt that at every scrum, there was an injury slowing the game down. I think there was something like 14 minutes of TMO time in the game, and we've worked pretty hard from a conditioning point of view, but it was really, really stop-start, and that made it frustrating from us. Was that a tactic from South Africa, do you feel?
I'm sure it must have been. I mean, I think South Africa would have really felt that they would have needed every second of rest that they could get. It's a bit like running the clock down in a football match, you know, the last 5 minutes, or a hockey match or a game where you can't really control those open plays. What is it? Someone told me the total game time was sort of 2 hours and 15 minutes. I mean, that's extraordinarily long and far too long. I'm sure they'll be able to cut that down a little bit, but I do think South Africa will try and control the time as much as they can to keep themselves fresh and to keep themselves in the game. So it'll be a battle. I'm sure the referee will be told to be hurrying them up, and then the players will be told to slow it down. So there'll be a frustrating battle on that front. But I would imagine it's because South Africa feel that the lines are probably in better nick. They've played more games. They've had a domestic season, etc. And the South African players would probably need a little bit more air in their lungs, and we'll try and find ways to get it.
So I was going to say on the two coaches that, like, traditionally around big sporting events, when it comes to mind games or to the victor and the spoils, and if you win, then everything that went before is justified. I'm just wondering about the thoughts in South African rugby about what happened last week with Razzie Erasmus, because it does feel, even though they got the victory, South Africa, that it's left a particularly sour taste. We know that World Rugby are investigating, a feeling that going at the referee and the officials time and time again for over an hour in one video just really overstepped the mark.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure that South Africans would feel exactly the same. I think you're probably right in terms of you know, there will be sanction and there will be some intervention from World Rugby. I watched the video back, actually, and you know, I mean, he makes 27 points, which is a lot, and it's something we can laugh about. The funny thing is, 26 of those points, he's probably right. So someone's got to say it at some stage. Is it the right thing to say in the middle of a test match? You know, the end justifies the means, I suppose, and will be his argument. As an ex-South African player, I've often felt that we have borne the brunt of some of the officials. I feel that there's that as one thing. The other thing is we need to really get it right with head-high tackles and monitoring that area, which is something that he brought up. Is the South African public going to say that Russie is incorrect and it leaves a sour taste? I think it depends on the result on Saturday. You know, if he goes away and wins the match and changes perceptions of the South African team, then it's a moral victory as well for him.
So this has been a long-running thing, that this feeling that South Africa have not got a fair crack at a whip when it comes to a lot of referees.
Well, I think there have been incidents in games where South Africa, I mean, the most famous one recently was playing England in England when Owen Farrell, you know, had three or four head high tackles and South Africa could have beaten England in the last couple of minutes and he didn't even get a penalty, let alone a yellow card. And everyone said, well, hang on, there's six examples of him not using arms over the last couple of weeks. Why not against us? And that sort of ran as a bit of a meme, I think, for a while. Nobody's played for a while. Mm. I haven't really felt that from the South African public or the players for a while, but that's possibly because they haven't been playing. But also, when they've played, they've won. So I think there's less moaning and less complaining about that. And Russie Erasmus was maybe trying to influence that as much as he could.
It does seem Razzie has an incredibly long memory, and he's incredibly good at creating a siege mentality that the players respond quite well to.
Yeah, I think he does. I mean, in terms of the actual length of his memory, I think he's one of those, what do you call him over here, a rugby nose. He just loves every aspect of the game. So he'll pick on little bits that can make you better as a player. He'll pick on little bits that can make you better as a team. And he'll make sure that you see those kind of things and use them to get better. And he's very, very detail-oriented. It has been for a long, long time. Even as a player, he was detail-oriented. So I think that's a sort of a skill set of his that we'll see for a long time. Doesn't matter where he coaches. You know, I'm sure the people in Munster will say that that's what he was like. And I've heard a lot of players say it was refreshing to have a coach who was so into it and so absorbed by making them better as players.
I got to say, I'm loving Razzie as water boy and just the energy he brings. And maybe because it's not something we always see, there's a peculiarity about it and you want to know what sort of an impact he's making. Like, do you think actually having a coach of that experience, those quick words he can have with players during the water breaks, during the stoppages, which, as we said, there's been so many of them, do you think they can have a proper impact on what the South Africans are doing on the field?
Oh, I do. I mean, you know, I've spoken about it for years in terms of the messaging from the coaches to the players, and you know, quicker, more concise messaging would be so much more useful to the players on the field. I think Russie is in direct contact with the box, or the coach's box, and then direct contact with the players, and he can translate a message very quickly at a little circle. He can say, guys, you need to shore up the blind side, or change from six man to eight man, or six man to four man lineouts, or whatever. Where usually a coach would take, there are three levels of people that he's got to go through, and it usually gets a broken telephone, and the message doesn't always get straight there. So I think Russie's sending a very clear, concise message quite quickly.
Like, it will be interesting, won't it, to see what the impact of this Lions tour is on the game over the next little while, because you would assume, Bobby, that there will be more influential water boys. There may be more of a process trying to influence the referee as well publicly, if this is the big ropey event we all know it is.
Yeah, there could be. You know, big events like this are often change, you know, aspects of governance, aspects of organisation. I mean, look at, you know, this tour would have changed how people manage players in a bubble, you know, travelling with COVID. There's a whole host of things that will come out of this. And those points that you make are valid ones. I mean, I think it will affect certain parts of how the game and tours are managed in the future, certainly. And we know that this Lions team is good enough to win the series. And we know that the South African team is good enough to win the series, because we've seen displays from both of them. So whoever comes out on top will have a smidgen more of that influence, because they've managed to use it to their advantage. So absolutely, it's all to play for.
It's incredible it hasn't happened more often, because coaches are obviously generally such egomaniacs and want to micromanage to such an extent that actually having that close contact access to the players pretty much every minute of the game, I'd imagine many of them are going, well, if Razzie Erasmus can do it, why can't I?
Well, I mean, look at NFL and basketball. You know, the head coach is right there. He's chatting to his team every second of every match. The head coach can talk directly to the quarterback in NFL. So they've got a hugely important relationship between the two of them. And maybe this is a step in that direction. I'm not sure. You know, maybe World Rugby stamp it out and say that you can't do that. The coach needs to leave the team alone after Friday afternoon, and the Saturday is all about the players on the field. Maybe they don't. Certainly, we'll see innovations from parts of the world that are under pressure. And because of the pressure of this Test Match series, we've seen some innovations and some attempts at innovation from Razzie Erasmus. And I think that has got to add to the game. I mean, it's fantastic.
Just a couple of other things before we let you go, Bobby. Could you try and describe to us, from your view, what it would be like to go up against that South African pack, and in particular that South Africa back row at Mostert in there this weekend? It is absolutely ferocious.
Oh, they yeah. Look, to be honest, as a loose forward, I'd be running and hiding from those guys. They're big and strong. I like the fact that he's gone with Visser. He's given Visser another sort of crack at eight. He hasn't brought in Dwayne Vermeulen. It probably just means that he hasn't passed a fitness test. Khaleesi, I think, has been one of the standouts of this series. He's in his own quiet way, made so many contributions, just little tackle contributions, carry contributions, drive contributions, and he's leading the tackle stats. So he's just been outstanding. And then Mostert has done very well at lock. And then when he moved to the flank, he was outstanding. He was everywhere. So I think it'll be a very good, balanced, loose trio. Lurt de Jager coming in and starting really helps us on our line-out woes. He's been very, very good here in the Premiership in the line-out, and I felt he just showed a lot of maturity when he came on and bossed the line-out. So, you know, that whole tight five and the loose forward pack have been doing the work. I think this final test, Rusty's message will be nobody gets to win a Lions series without doing the work in the final test. Nobody gets to knock them over and win this game without doing the work. So we'll see an uptick in the amount of work the pack does, and that scares me. If they get through solid work, they'll be hard to stop.
It would be another massive achievement for this group as well to become world champions, then to barely play a game because of COVID and to come back and to win a Lions series. If this was the All Blacks, we'd be raving about their greatness. But because of maybe South Africa's style of play and the fact that a lot of people feel it's quite dull or even boring, they don't seem to get the same level of respect that another country would for what they're achieving right now.
Yeah, I think it's a good point, well made. You know, history is written by those who make it. So I think these guys will write their own words about this. And if they knock the Lions over and prove that they are a team who can win a World Cup and then back it up, their proof sheet says they've knocked the Lions over, then people can say what they want. They'll be a proud group with a proud group of fans. And their style of rugby will have proven to be successful. So I'm not sure that they'll worry too much about the way that they do this. I know that they'll worry about the individuals making sure they all make their contributions.
They can write their own version of history via a one-hour Razzie Erasmus video message, put in a time capsule for the future. Call this one for us, Bobby. How's this Saturday going to go?
I think it'll be tighter than last week, but not as tight as the first week. I'm calling South Africa by six.
Right, good stuff. Bobby Skinstad, always great to chat to you. Thanks, Millie, for taking the call.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Cheers. Former Springbok there, Bobby Skinstad, setting the tone nicely, I think it's fair to say, ahead of Saturday. It's going to be a fairly tasty encounter again, to say the least. It's going to be live here on Off the Ball, on News Talk. It's something we've had for the last few weeks. It's been an intense series, a series with plenty of different storylines going into it, and obviously plenty of Irish interest going into that on Saturday. The one thing we didn't ask, of course, is about Mornay Steyn wearing the number 22 jersey and a little bit of, I don't know, PTSD from a Lions supporting standpoint, where it's like, God, is this guy, even though he hasn't been capped since like 2016, going to come off the bench and actually do something special yet again?